it. I was born in a little town by the name Ramadan. Incidentally, when Hitler invaded Russia in 1941, Ramadan was the first city that he invaded. And all my relatives, I guess, were killed during that period.
In the little town of Ramadan, near Khorol?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Poltava Gubernia.
Right.
Okay, Ukraine. And can you tell me, this was...
You know, your Yiddish sounds like it was just came over me.
I try.
No, it's a fine. It's...
Wonderful. Can you tell me what kind of a house you lived in?
Really? When I was a real young boy, we lived about a half a mile from the station, from Ramadan.
Train station.
It's called, they have a big railway station
mm-hmm.
there. And in that town, in Ramadan, there was about 40 Jewish families.
Mm-hmm. Were there Gentile families too, or it was just a purely Jewish state?
Oh no, there was Gentile too.
Would you call it a shtetl, Ramadan, or a village?
They call it, in Russian, they call it a stancia. So
yeah,
uh-huh. That's what they call it.
In other words, it was built before around the train station.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But we lived a half a mile away from the station.
Mm-hmm.
There was two families, my grandfather's family and my family, and the Sheikhet.
Mm-hmm.
He lived, there was only two Jewish families living, and they're like a half a mile away from Novi.
Mm.
Right on the highway.
Mm.
Well, the house was, well, about five-room house.
Wood?
Yeah.
How did you heat it?
They used to heat it with, wintertime they would buy, certain material made out of manure.
Mm. Dried dung. They
yeah,
use it still in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah.
In the stove. They'd use that in the stove.
And it'd give a lot of heat, good heat.
Yeah. And water outside in the well?
Oh, yeah. There was a well just right near the house.
Mm-hmm. How did you keep food cold in the summertime? Was there any...
We had in the back of the yard, we had like a cooler. And we kept a lot of things there.
Mm-hmm. What you mean? Because it was dark, or was
it? It was, well, dark, and it had a little
in
little.
In the earth.
Yeah.
Dug in the earth. Uh huh. Okay. How many brothers did you have?
I had one brother and two sisters.
Older, younger?
No, I was the oldest one.
You were the oldest one, so they were all younger than you.
Yeah.
All right. How many years did you live in Ramadan?
In Ramadan, I lived till I was 9 years old.
And then?
Then we moved over to Khorol.
That was a bigger town?
Yeah, oh yes. Khorol is about an hour's ride by train from Ramadan.
Mm-hmm. How big is Khorol?
Well, I would say Khorol had about 5,000 Jewish families.
Families, not people.
Families.
Oh, that's already big. All right. So, how long did you live in Khorol?
I lived in Khorol from 9 to 13, 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of work did your father do?
My father was in Russian they call it the prikashchik.
Yeah.
You know what a prikashchik is?
Kind of like
a salesman or some kind of a salesman for a flour mill.
Prikashchik. Prikashchik. I've heard the word, but I wasn't ever really very sure what it was.
Salesman.
Is it like a broker?
No,
in
no.
A go-between, or he actually sold
You see, they, there was a big flour mill, and he used to, in fact, he was in charge when the peasants would bring over the wheat or the corn to the mill. He used to buy it from them and pay them. And
He bought it. Did he sell it then, or what?
No, no.
He bought it as the agent of someone.
He bought it from them to, for the mill.
I see. I see. That makes sense. Did you do any work before you came to America?
No.
No. What languages were spoken in your home?
Yiddish.
Yes.
Well, I had the private Russian education, but...
private tutor in Russian.
Yeah, but we didn't speak much Russian at all.
You spoke Ukrainian and Russian.
Not the Ukrainian, I spoke Russian.
Most outside, though.
Russian.
Not in the house.
Yeah.
When did you start your schooling?
What do you mean?
Both Hebrew and English.
Well, my...
Did you go to a cheder or private?
My cheder I started when I was 5.5 years old.
There was a cheder in Ramadan.
No, before I came to Ramadan, oh, I forgot to tell you. I came to Ramadan when I was about 7 years old. But I was really, I started a cheder in a city by the name, I forgot it, Piratin.
In other words, you lived in this, in Piratin first and then Ramadan.
Yeah, in Piratin until I was about 7.5 years old. And then we moved. I came over to Ramadan. But my cheder I started in Piratin.
Was it near? Was it nearby?
Well, it's about, I think I would say about 1.5 hours ride from Ramadan.
Would the things you told me about the house there apply to Piratin, the same kind of condition or
well,
the same
Piratin,
kind of town?
Well, Piratin, not about the same, but in Piratin we lived in the heart of the city.
I see.
In Ramadan we lived like a mile away from
it. I see. Now, you started cheder in Piratin, and you continued in cheder when you went to Ramadan also?
When I came to Ramadan, my grandfather, peace be on him, he was my, he was the Hebrew teacher for the whole community there. So he was my teacher. And
he was the Melamed. Was he considered a Melamed?
Yeah. Of course, later on, he was more than a Melamed. Later on, he became a Rosh Yeshiva.
Which yeshiva?
In Kremenchuk.
He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Kremenchuk.
But that's later on.
What was his name?
Slavkin.
Well, I didn't know which side of the family.
Oh, yeah, Slavkin.
Oh, so he was a very learned man.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
And he wanted me to be a rabbi.
Russian education. You had a private tutor in Russian and general subjects, secular subjects. Was this because Jewish children were not allowed in Russian schools, or was it because there wasn't any?
No, there wasn't any. There was very few Russian schools. And in fact, I was getting ready, if not for coming to this country, to enter the fourth class of gymnasium. You know, I was preparing.
Didn't they have a Jewish quota, or do you think you could have made it?
I think I could have made it. Yeah, they had a quota, but I think I could have made it. If I passed the...
Was there a gymnasium in Ramadan or in Chorol?
No, in Chorol there was a женская gymnasium, a woman's high school. And incidentally, a lot of my aunt had a boarding house for Jewish high school girls. Because, see, in Russia, not every city had a high school.
That's right.
So a lot of Jewish girls came as far as 300-500 miles to that city, and she had a boarding house for the Jewish girls.
But where would you have gone if you had stayed and gone to gymnasium? Which town would you have gone to?
I would have to go to Kremenchuk.
I see. But you had family there, so this was no great problem.
Yeah.
Can you describe the synagogue? Now, I don't know whether you want to describe Piratin, or Chorol, or Ramadan, whichever town you want to choose.
Well, in Ramadan, they had a synagogue.
Just one synagogue for the 5,000, no, there weren't
no,
like
Ramadan,
there were only 40 families, that's right.
Synagogue.
What was it like?
Well, it was a plain, you know,
one
small.
One story, two story, three story?
But one story in a big room and with a partition for the
Oh, there was a partition. There was
women.
No balcony.
No, but well, a partition for the women.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a rabbi? Or did they just
no,
run it
I didn't
themselves?
Have. In fact, my grandfather was
so-called
like a rabbi. You know?
Uh-huh. Because he was learned and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, my grandfather and the Chayfet that lived with us there, they were the two clergymen.
Yeah. And do you remember the synagogue in Piloten at all?
No.
You were too little.
Too little.
Do you remember the synagogue in Chol?
Oh, yeah.
They had a few, probably.
In Chol, they had about four or five
mm-hmm.
synagogues.
Which ones did your family go to? Which one?
I really couldn't tell you the name of it.
Not the name. You know, what it looked like and so on. People can't remember names.
It was pretty big, you know.
Was it the Lubavitcher synagogue, or your father didn't go with the
It was a general synagogue.
Yeah. This had already an Ezra Snashim upstairs. The one in Chol had a balcony.
Oh, yeah. That was already
People went there three times a day, and Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and so. In other words, it was populated throughout, and they had a chazan.
Oh, sure. It's a big city.
Well, what were your relations with the non-Jewish people in your community?
Not very. Yeah. We kept aloof from them, and they kept aloof from us, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Ukrainians now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You were a kid, but did you, or let's say your father, belong to any organizations such as the Zionists or the Bund or the Socialists or any of those?
No.
What was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jews?
Well, at that time it was oppressive, you know, the Tsarist. We lived through a pogrom in 1905.
A pogrom in which?
Well, not exactly, not in our city, but in Russia, you know, different sectors, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
During 1905.
Mm-hmm. Did you think of America at all at this time? And if you did, what did you think of it?
No. The only time I started to think of America is when my father, he was a ex-soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1904, when the Russian-Japanese War broke out, he was a reservist.
Yeah.
And he was called up.
Ah.
So instead of going to the army, he skipped.
Uh-huh.
And he was hidden for about 6 months in White Russia.
Yeah.
In a city of the name Snopsk.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chernigov Guberny.
Mm-hmm.
He kept away, you know, from the.
Yeah.
And finally, he couldn't stay there any longer because the police were
mm-hmm.
catching on to him. That's where he went to America.
Mm-hmm. So then your father went first, and
yeah.
So you heard about America.
My father went in 1905.
Mm-hmm. So then you thought about America already.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I wasn't very tickled of going to America.
No?
No. I was planning to go to a gymnasium, to get away, you know.
I understand. Well, you made it to the gymnasium. A little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The question now is, why did you leave the country in which you were born? And I think you answered it very nicely in the previous question, because of your father and so on.
Then in 1906, my father sent me a shift's card, and money. But my mother and the children still remained there.
Oh, just for you?
Yes, ma'am. They called me the youngest little Jew traveling by himself.
You were, that's, who called you this?
Well, you know those Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
The Kleiner Yiddele, they called them. But the Pekele, you know.
How old were you?
I was about 13 and a half years old.
Mm. So when did the others come over?
A year after. And
mm-hmm.
and this would be an interesting point. My father came here in 1905.
To Pittsburgh?
To Pittsburgh.
Why did your father come to Pittsburgh?
He had a cousin here, a cousin lived here. Supposed to be a well-to-do cousin. Mm-hmm. At that time in Pittsburgh, the main industry occupied by the Jews was the tobacco industry, stogie maker.
Mm-hmm.
And my father became a stogie maker.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came there, I also became a stogie maker. And between him and I, let's say he was making about $8 a week, and I was making about $7 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we saved up enough money to bring over my mother and three children.
Yeah. The question here, I think you've also answered, did you have a definite destination and where? And you called me Pittsburgh because your father has. Now here's something you also answered in advance. Were you part of a group traveling together when you left?
Here is the way, you see, in Russia, that time, you had to have a passport.
Yeah.
Either you have a passport, or if you don't have a passport, Megan with them granites.
Yeah.
My father, incidentally, couldn't get a passport.
Obviously.
here's how I got a passport. There was a Jew in that city. The time when I was getting ready to leave, my mother lived in Suraj, Chernigovo Gubernia, with her relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a Jew there who was getting ready to go to America, and he took out a passport for him, his wife, four children,
mm-hmm.
and a sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It happened that none of them were ready to go.
Ah.
So I became one of his child.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman with three children became his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And a young lady who was going to America became his sister-in-law. And we assumed his name.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have photographs in the passport.
No. And the only time we had to answer to our name was when we came at the border. When they called out my name, instead of Slopkin, they called me out. I forgot already what his name was.
So you were part of a group because you traveled as his son.
That's
Do you remember how you went from, let's say, from Suraj?
Oh, yeah.
You took what?
From Suraj, we went by train by way of Gomel.
Yeah.
Then Vilna, Kovna. And then we stopped at the West Russian station. They call it Verzhbilov.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the border is.
Mm-hmm.
And Verzhbilov, the train slackened down, and the gendarme
mm-hmm.
came over with a list of names, and they called my so-called father's name and my name, and everything was okay. And about 10 minutes later, we were in Yadkunin, at the German border city.
Yadkunin. In which country? Which border was this? Was this Poland?
Germany.
This was already Germany of that day.
Yeah, Germany of that day. It's called East Prussia.
East Prussia, right.
East Prussia, yeah.
And from there, which port?
And from there, my so-called father and my so-called mother and the others, we separated.
Ah.
They were going to Antwerp,
uh-huh.
Belgium, and I was going to Bremen.
Yeah, I see.
They call
but
it
you
Bremen.
Didn't need the paper anymore. You didn't need the passport.
No. Bremerhaven, Germany.
Mm-hmm. And then from their ship.
From Bremen, we took a ship, and we landed in Baltimore. I think it took us 12 or 14 days, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
12 days, I think.
To Baltimore. And
yes.
Okay. Who met you?
Nobody met me in Baltimore. In Baltimore, at the immigration station,
mm-hmm.
my father deposited $5, $5 for me.
He wasn't there, your father, but he had sent it.
Sent it.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me the $5, and I treated myself to salami. It's the first time in my life I ate salami there. They sold it on the train.
In other words, the whole time on the ship, you were 13 and a half year old kid alone.
Alone. They called me the Yida Limit and Pekula.
The Yida Limit and Pekula, that's.
Yes.
Did you bring any papers or things with you outside of your immediate clothing? No objects. What was in your Pekula?
Oh, they had underwear.
Your talus and tefillin?
Yeah, tefillin, not the talus, tefillin.
Yeah.
And what else? Oh, the little, my mother made some jelly and mm-hmm. the different little things. And small packet, you know, mm-hmm. shirts and socks.
Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
No, in Europe was Slavkin.
And here
I changed to Slavkin.
Oh, that's not much of a change,
that's
especially
only
since people...
From Avita Dabri, that's all.
Yeah, that's not much. And do you know if it was originally this way back? Your grandfather was named already Slavkin.
The name comes... Years ago, they would name the Jews according to their occupation
yeah.
or according to their family origin.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a great-great-grandmother whose name was Slava. And she was, years ago, if you were acquainted with history, the women were the business people.
Yes,
the men,
very often.
The men used to sit and they go to mm-hmm. shul and mm-hmm. pray. And Slava, she was a businesswoman. She had, I don't know, a farm or whatever. But I know, so whoever descended from her, they
mm-hmm.
called it the Slavkin family.
Mm-hmm.
Descending from Slava.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. A lot of people don't know the origin.
Yeah.
You do know. Your first name, though...
My first name in Jewish was Hirschel.
Yeah.
So Hirschel became Harry.
Yeah. And
well, you can write either. It's good for you.
And Max Moshe?
No, his name was Mendel.
Oh.
I don't know why I called him. I could have called him. There is a Mendel in English.
Yeah, Mendel Rivers is a senator.
Yes. I don't know why I gave
him. Because everybody considered it a Jewish name,
yeah.
So you want to get an American name.
I don't know why you would be called him. Now, my son.
I had a cousin, Mottel, who's Max.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Now, my son, who was named after my father. His name is Emmanuel or Mendel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in other words, your name and your son's name were the same? You said your name was Mendel?
No.
Max.
My father's name was Mendel.
But you call yourself Harry Max?
But my father's middle name.
Ah, you took your father's middle name. That's interesting. That's unusual.
Yeah.
What first impressed you when you came to the United States? You got off the ship at Baltimore. What was your first impression?
I saw a colored man.
Mm. You hadn't seen any in Europe.
I haven't. It's the first time in my life I saw a colored fellow. And what impressed me, when my father left Europe, he had a beard like this.
Oh, but this is when you came in Pittsburgh already. I have two questions.
Oh,
one,
oh,
the United
oh.
States. One, I meant
oh,
when
yeah.
you just got off the boat. You told me you ate a salami for the first time.
Yeah.
Did you ask him it's kosher, it's not kosher? You didn't ask.
Well, there was a label there.
Oh.
You can be sure if it wasn't kosher, I wouldn't tell you. It was a label.
So they didn't have salami in the old country. And you know, it's funny. Here they think
well,
of salami as a Jewish dish.
Well, maybe they had, but I never ate it in my life.
So you ate that, and this is what impressed you when you first come in Baltimore. And what first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh?
Well, I expected my father to meet me, and I get off the train.
Do you remember which station?
Yeah, B&O station, that's no more, they tore it down.
Yeah.
Used to be down on Border Street.
Yeah.
And I got off the train and there was a little Jew there with a short beard, but it wasn't my father. My father had a long beard.
Mm.
So he called me back and he told me he was my father.
Yeah. Excuse me.
The young boys put beards on.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't tell the difference between a hippie and a yeshiva buch unless you look at
That's
the back
right.
of the head.
Right.
Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh? Was it morning or evening when you came from the train? Or?
No, it was in the afternoon.
Yeah. And you met your father.
My father. And that time there was no taxi cab.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have enough money for carpet, so we walked.
Yeah.
From B&O station to Center Avenue to my cousin.
Is that where your father was living?
Yeah, for a while.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the address or center and where?
Yeah, 1610 Center Avenue, I remember. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? Do you remember the events of that day at all, or just too hazy?
I remember the first thing you did, they gave me, what do they call it? That time.
A bath?
No, no, not a bath. They gave me some kind of a laxative.
Oh. were a child?
Not X-lax, something else.
Castor oil?
No. That time it was the policy of when a greenhorn comes to give him.
Well, I bet you needed it too, unless you needed something else.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, look, to this day, when we come to New York to visit my parents after a trip from Pittsburgh, my mother immediately worries about bowel movements.
Oh, yeah.
Was there anything about life in the United States during the first 5 years that disappointed you?
Well, no, I wouldn't say anything disappointed me. The only thing, the first year, I still kept to my Russian literature. Although I went to night school right away, but I kept on reading the Russian literature until the second year, then already I switched.
Would you consider this a disappointment?
No.
Mm-hmm. You just kind
in
of...
In fact, I had a teacher in high school, a fellow by the name Charlie Cooper. I don't know if he's still living. He used to be a very prominent man in Pittsburgh. And he caught me in the library one day, and I was reading a pictorial magazine from Russia. It's called Neva.
Yeah.
He says to me, why don't you read English instead of Russian? I said, well, they have pictures. He says, get the illustrated London News. And
they have pictures, too.
Yeah.
And now kids go to school to study Russian that their parents try to forget.
That's right.
Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No, I wouldn't say that. I didn't. No. Or maybe sometimes the kids would call me greenhorn, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, this seems to have happened often enough. After you lived in the United States for 5 years, in other words, you must be about 18, did you at that time feel that you had accomplished or you would accomplish your goal in coming here? It's a hard question. It's a philosophy.
I don't know. In fact, when I was already 18, I became oriented. And I was getting ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. I started taking private tutors and all that. No, I was...
I already asked you this question. Where was your first home? And you told me on Center Avenue with cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't your own. Was a room or something?
Just temporary there.
Yeah.
Then my father and I, we were boarding in a place on Tannehill Street, up in the Hill District, until my mother and the family came the next year. Then we lived in different parts of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Till your mother came. I'm just looking to see if there's enough tape for the next question. What kind of work did you first do? You told me stogie making. And how did you get it? Your father got you into it?
Yeah, and incidentally...
And you got training on the job?
Yeah. Incidentally, at that time, they had a Pennsylvania law.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't allowed to work unless you're 15 years of age.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that time, in order to learn the stogie trade, the people would have to take you in. They're the manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to take me in because I didn't have papers.
Mm-hmm.
So they told my father, that right across the bridge in here in Homestead, there's a Jewish manufacturer, and he's in cahoots with the police there, and he'll take me in. So I learned the tubby trade in Homestead.
Mm.
And I wasn't here more than 2 weeks. It was before Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that the chazan there in the shul needs a singer, a boy singer. And I had a pretty nice alto voice. So I sang Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the Homestead shul.
So that was a little part-time income.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all even. I got $7 for this 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
$5. Yes, $7.
I think it's called Rod of Shalom down there, no? Also, well, right, but it's Orthodox.
Yeah, but that shul is already...
There is a shul in Holland.
Oh, but... there is two shuls in Holland. Yeah, there is shul, yeah. But I don't know whether it's dead. I don't think that shul exists anymore. It's
How long did you stay in this job of stogie making? You remember?
Oh, in stogie making, I stayed from till I was